The VBC is a celebration of placemaking and permaculture, and will have more than 20 sites throughout the Portland area that will draw people together to build shared projects designed by the neighbors to fill a community need. The theme of VBC is home, and the many events will happen between June 1st and June 17th, and include partnerships with Petalpalooza, Right to Dream, and more. Again, that's the 17th annual Village Building Convergence taking place until June 17th at sites all over Portland. More information can be found about the various events of VBC 17 at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 9:59 a.m. coming up at 10. It's Air Cascadia, followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints, and at 11 we round out the morning with the Digital Divide. That's all coming up, so stay tuned to your community radio.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 9th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio. And it's all about whistleblowing today, as it really is every day when you come to, when you think about it. We're, of course, at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. A bit of weather for today. We have an interesting weekend coming up. I'm going to try to break down the weather for you and make it a little bit simpler, because we're trying in an effort to get through a whole weekend. We've got a little bit too much here. But moving right along, I think that in the last 24 hours, the word hope, as used by Trump, has taken on a life of its own. I don't think any of us will ever catch ourselves saying the phrase, "I hope that you will, I don't know, wash my car for me. I hope that you'll pay off my mortgage. I hope that my dogs see you off the property." The way in which, the manner in which James Comey recounts his experience of being in the Oval Office with Donald Trump after everyone else has been hustled off to Buffalo, leaving the two of them together once again, as in the case of their private tete-a-tete dinner. Once again, James Comey recounting that he felt distinctly apprehensive about being left alone in the room with Donald Trump. And certainly one would expect that James Comey, of all people, must know of Trump's close association with Eric Satir and the likes of other Russian mobsters that are very close, dare I say, very close associates of Donald Trump's, business associates, and I do mean business. I would imagine that part of the nervousness James Comey said that he is feeling, being left alone in the room with Donald Trump, arises not so much as what we, the American public, are aware of and would think to ourselves, "Oh yes, I feel a little nervous in the room with Trump." But Comey probably does know what the Dutch investigative group Zembla has found out about Eric Satir and some of the others among the Bayrock group, and knowing that they do have blood in their hands, and they probably don't have much, aren't that concerned about whose blood it is. That said, we're fortunate, very fortunate, to have James Henry joining us now. These are very, very busy times for people who have done the kind of work that James Henry does, and uncovering a lot of, well, certainly that the extraordinary criminal tax fraud that Trump has involved himself with, and which leads in many directions, notably in the direction of Russia. Good morning, Mr. Henry. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, so in the aftermath of the Comey's testimony, that part of which was open to the public, I wonder how much we are able to discern from the public testimony of what might have been said in answer to those questions, if said in the closed door session.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's likely to be some discussion. You know, he sort of indicated that there had been maybe a third instance in which Jeffrey Sessions had, Attorney General Sessions had met with Kisilov, and that was, I think, probably a topic in the the closed door sessions. to make a pun, the the issue there would be: did this represent an instance that the Attorney General didn't disclose and should have disclosed? But beyond that, I think there are all kinds of questions about the status of this investigation. Comey is very reluctant to talk about where things stood, and he doesn't want to jeopardize the Mueller investigation that's going on. So that might have been things that would be appropriately discussed in a closed-door session. I think more generally the whole issue about to what extent there is real evidence of collusion, whether they're satisfied that they have access to everything they need to know to run that down. And then the question of whether they are actually looking at any kind of non-collusion related potential crimes involving things like money laundering or, financial fraud or any of the long history of potential topics that they might look at.
Tax fraud, of course.
If they got beyond the sort of the narrow question of whether, to what extent Russia was involved in either coordinating actively with people in the Trump campaign or his advisors, soliciting them, or actually hacking the election. And there's several different pockets of inquiry here, and they're all pretty complicated. At this stage, I think we can, if we can get the Republicans to understand that it's actually in their self-interest to step back from this president and to, look at Comey's testimony in the cold light of day. This is a fellow who has a long kind of professional track record, not perfect by any means, but a longstanding civil servant who has served both Republican and Democratic presidents. He's widely admired, I know for a fact, from talking to ex-FBI agents within the Bureau, in contrast to Mueller, who kind of was very much of a centralist and managed, sort of tended not to go out and visit all the agents. Comey visited all the FBI agent offices in like 50 states during the time that he was director and developed a very strong relationship with the agents. So it was really not fair to Comey, and I think he took it personally when Bush went after him and attacked him for being having ruined the FBI or mismanaged the service. That's probably on Bush's, if he wanted to let this, part, if Trump wanted to get beyond this, it was a real mistake on his part to go after Comey personally there. Now we have a situation where you have the former kind of this impossibly weird situation where the former head of the FBI is the president are basically calling each other liars. But the only way we really get beyond all this, it's just not healthy for the body politic to be in this situation. We need Congress, I think, to sort of be the adult here and to have a serious, kind of investigation that goes beyond really what the Senate or the House are able to do, something like a national commission on this very serious attempt by Russia to influence our election.
On that note, too, coming at the time of the Comey giving testimony, the senators are trying to dissuade Trump from returning properties, compounds to Russia. And it's a bipartisan group of senators warning the Trump administration against returning U.S.-based diplomatic compounds to Russia. These were, of course, the compounds that were seized in response to Moscow's election meddling. So it's the timing, once again, Donald Trump seems to have an innate sense of awful, abysmally bad timing. So it seems, it does, one could see that there's Trump wanting to sort of wrap things up with Russia before he's impeached. It's just the compound, these diplomatic compounds sealed. What's, you know, maybe there's some information in there that...
Yeah, we just don't know. This has become obsessive. I think there's a risk that the left becomes obsessive.
Yes.
As well. Let's pay attention to the fact that Jeremy Corbyn just got a tremendous... uptick in the Labor Party. How did he do that? He was talking about positive programs and positive ideas and positive alternatives.
And he has amazingly charismatic campaign.